Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Jeff Thomas. Now, before we stake... Oh, I've forgotten how to do it, Lucy.
Before we stake a mart.
Before we stake your mart... No, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week. You just changed the script. It didn't used to say now, so I thought there was going to be some big revelation.
Oh, no.
Now, listeners, before Lucy delves in, we have a very important announcement. Lucy has come off Twitter for a little bit. Don't panic, everyone. Yes.
I'm having a holiday from it.
A holiday. Yep. So let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Pat and Joy at a festival that I could not avoid hearing as Cockstravaganza. They were promoting Summer Orchard and it was juice, juice, juice all day, said Joy. And it certainly was when we met Mick Yardley, who was a steward and just as irritating as Joy. So I hope they'll be very happy together, but quietly. How much money do you reckon that they've lost between them at that festival? A couple of thousand? I mean, Pat wasn't even selling juice. She was going around with bits of cheese on a stick, like a 70s birthday party. We also re-met Toya Wilcox, who is a famous with brightly coloured hair. Pat is a total moron and spent the day not knowing who anyone was. She was saying things like, Ray Davis from the Kinks. No, Ray Davis from the Greggs Warehouse. If you didn't recognise Toya Bloody Wilcox, how are you going to recognise Ray Davis, Pat? The woman has one of the most recognisable voices in British broadcasting. Toya wanted to go to the Ambridge Fete to meet more cheese, where she will undoubtedly end up declaring the fete open, tap dancing with Ardil and diving into the village pond to save a drowning child. When they get an amenable special guest who can do a bit of the old acting, they really like to make the most of them. Susan had a chat with Georgie about him being a nasty little git and simultaneously told him that you should do what's right and be morally accountable, but also never express your feelings and squash them all down. George thought Nana being a G was cool. Susan thought emotional repression was aspirational. What a bloody family. Pip had a chat with Toby and said she thought they were a well-oiled machine, but Toby felt like he was an ironing board. Toby is moving to Stratford to go round restaurants talking to owners and drinking wine. Ooh, maybe he could get together with Tracy and they could discuss hardship. Actually, he's not really moving to Stratford and doing that. He's going because it's panto season, auditioning time, and he's probably playing Aladdin in Chorlton Cum Hardy. We'll lose loads of them now. The village will be staffed entirely by Jill, Brian and Auntie Cardboard, or indeed anyone who is too past it to slap their thigh and shout, 3 miles from London and still no sign of Dick. And talking of Dick... Ed caught George vamping. Eddie, father of the year, got involved and helpfully reminded Georgie that his stepdad had also had a penchant for drinking underage, getting into nightclubs, developing a massive crack addiction and living in a hedge. As seems to be the pattern with Georgie, any attempt to put him on the straight and narrow just seems to give him ideas. And thus, when the Durbrain duo decided to convert an old shed into a vape lab, Breaking Brad was born. The good thing about Georgie and the thing that will be his saving grace is that he is thick as mince and therefore will be unable to follow through any of his schemes because he will be hindered by lack of intellect. As a result, he, like the rest of the village, is viewing Brad as Ambridge's Stephen Hawking and is under the impression that because Brad knows about physics, chemistry, said Brad, he can knock up vaping flavours. Neither of them seemed keen to specify what it was they were flavouring. Oil? Water? I mean, all I know about vaping is that when you follow someone who is vaping in their car, it makes it look as if their head gasket's blown. Georgie seems to think it's like making mud pies or perfume out of bashed up rose petals and a bit of your mum's talcum powder. Eddie, who really should be sectioned by now, gave it his blessing, but said don't do anything stupid. Oh, Eddie, they're already doing something stupid. Meanwhile, over at Rickyard, Stella had come over to borrow Pip's moisture meter, which was off the charts, as it always is whenever Stella's around. They ended up, for plotical reasons, going swimming together so that A, Pip could get a good look at Stella in her navy blue sensible one-piece swimming costume, and B, they could give each other bits of advice, namely Pip saying she would support Stella and Stella saying get rid of Toby as we cannot check moisture with him floating around. As this was quite like old times archers with farcical Grundy plots, will they, won't they, love stories and cheese, we ticked off another box in the archers bingo with a married couple being unspeakably petty and rude to each other. Yes, Lillian and Justin were reminding us of the joys of monogamy yet again by having like a couple of bickering children who you'd move away from if you were sitting near them in a restaurant. Justin was all for letting an alcoholic take over his business because she was cheap, and Lillian wanted somebody called Teddy because, as Justin said, she couldn't be asked to think about it properly. That's the kind of HR decision that goes down really well with your investors. And we ended the week with something that has been confusing me for months now. How is Ambridge Hall run? It is not a bed and breakfast because a bed and breakfast is not an extended dinner party. And also, Lillian and Linda are not best friends, or only for about a month of the year, and the rest of the time they're at each other's throats. And finally, Breaking Brad ended exactly as we thought it would in A&E. Yep, George's marvellous medicine nearly finished the dear boy off, and I am very much hoping Sunday's episode features George's funeral, where he will be mourned by absolutely no one. In the meantime, we could look forward on Sunday to William's fabulous display of pottery willies. How dare Justin complain about going to the theatre to watch a man pretending to be a sock? Has he never heard of the Archers? The end.
Very, very funny, Lucy.
Thank you.
George's marvellous medicine is almost as funny as Breaking Brad. I credit Breaking Brad with Adam Hickford on Twitter.
Oh!
But did you come up with it independently? Now you're not even on Twitter.
I did. I didn't know he'd said that.
Lucy.
Adam Hickford, I'm sorry.
No, because you... No, Lucy. No, you're not on Twitter. You couldn't have known.
Oh, okay.
So
oh,
it's... You can claim... I think other people... I just thought... Because it was the first thing I thought of when they were going into the laboratory.
Laboratory. It's a shed.
But it was instantly, wasn't it? The reference was Breaking Bad. And I was just thinking about it. And I was thinking, what would be a really hilarious... And then I went on Twitter and he'd put, did anyone else come up with Breaking Brad? And some people went, yeah, I did actually.
Yeah ages ago, before ages I even heard the scene. Yeah,
this morning. Yeah. But it's just genius, isn't it? Breaking Brad is the best thing to have happened to the Archers for months. And George's marvellous medicine.
So basically, sorry, that flipping, listeners, dear listener, I am being attacked. Yes, I am being attacked by mosquitoes. I'm in the shoffice, which is under lots of trees.
The shoffice.
At the back of Epping Forest. Yes, of course I do.
Of course you do.
And yes, mine's not made of glass. It isn't going to spontaneously combust at any point.
Mr. Maloney.
Yeah. I love Mr. Maloney.
Oh my God, I'm so in love with him.
Everybody loves, even Jeff's quite in love with Mr. Maloney, I think. So I'm in my shoffice, which is under lots of trees, and it's full of mosquitoes.
Yuck! Where's the water that they're all being born in?
It's my butt, Harriet. They're all attracted to my butt.
You're as moist as Pip in that pool before she even got in the pool.
I know, she was fairly awash before she'd even gone through the disinfectant thingy.
It sounded like they were in the shower. I was like, what is going on here?
Are they in the same changing room cubicle rather than just shouting over the... You know when you're having a conversation, then you realise that your friend isn't... You're talking to someone else, that your friend is actually three rows down and that you've been going, so anyway! And then passing her a towel that isn't her.
Or worse, if you're trying to do it in the pool, but you're doing lengths. Yeah. So you just have to wait till you sort of collide. Like one, if you're going different ways, you might... every 5 minutes. I always had that when I used to go swimming at college. One of my teachers would be in the pool as well, and she would go one way and I would go the other way, and in the middle I sort of had to go right, just do a little sort of half smile.
Yeah, hi miss. Hi.
It's really, really stressful that when you know they're coming towards you and you're like, should I go underwater? That would be rude. I should make eye contact in the pool.
I can't shake hands and say hi, how are you?
How are you? Yeah, see, okay, hold that thought. Go back. Maybe. Oh, that's setting something up, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
There was chemistry, wasn't there?
Totally. And also all that business about, but you've got someone to support you now.
Yes. And then I actually did feel chemistry between them.
Mm.
I mean, I was like disappointed because I don't think Pip is
good enough.
Very good, no, very attractive. Well, I don't, you know, she's just the way she was talking to the way she talks to people in the Arches as though she's just like a regular person and not an actress.
Mm.
You know, like something she'll just say in the completely non-natural way just to show that she's just really spontaneous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do it now. You should know. You got it. I can't remember what it was.
Do it now. Let's just do it now.
There's just something about the way she says things that's it's like, you know, it's too obviously supposed to be really casual.
Yeah.
But it actually comes out a bit affected, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, bless her. I love Pip, but I don't, and I did feel the chemistry, but I don't fancy them as a couple.
Right.
Because Stella is quite, you know, she, I think.
Stella's hot, isn't she?
She's hot, isn't she?
And yeah.
But then, so Pip hasn't had a boyfriend for ages, has
Pip's
she?
Pip's tepid, I'd say.
Yes, that's the thing. I can't imagine her having sex with anyone.
And also, I mean, Toby is, you know, he's quite, I imagine him as quite kind of,
me too.
You know, and they've just been, you know, sharing a bed for months and nothing's happened.
I was totally thinking that. So if you're Stella, you'd be going, yeah, but surely like in the last 3 months, drunken night out or after a glass of wine.
Or even it could be an accident. You know, you just fell on him and he's willy was in the way.
Exactly.
Yes.
Cut a little cuddle in the night.
Yes.
But that's, and Pip was so adamant that there was nothing. So that made me think, okay, well, this is definitely being set up as Pip's next relationship.
Yeah. And Pip was, this was the first time I heard what sounded like Stella being interested. I think,
I wasn't. I wasn't disagreeing with you. Sorry.
You're right.
It's my first glass of wine of the week.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did you just snort it or something?
Yeah, basically. Sorry, I wasn't listening. Go on. She was interested. Yeah,
but that was the first time, because before it was very evident, I thought, that Pip liked her, because Pip got a bit snarky every time Stella talked to Ruth.
No, but do you think that really, what, do you think that was part of the story? I just thought, well, that was just part to make it more dramatic, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
I can't even remember why she didn't like Stella. Or do you think that was all part of the story?
Oh, it's because she said to Stella, when Stella first arrived in the village, she said to Pip,
get your sheep out my field.
Yeah, I want the field back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that all was part of the slow burn.
Mm.
So my other theory, if they weren't going to get together, was, is Stella going to get together with Toby?
No.
No,
it's them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what on earth was that scene for?
And also, why would she have said, come to my paddling pool when Toby's not there? So you
because
can
she didn't,
bathe
she wouldn't,
in privacy.
She wouldn't feel like a twat.
So you
putting
can
her head
take
under
your
the water.
Clothes off in practice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it's going to be an interesting one to play out, isn't it? Because I don't know if Pip's universally loved.
Because I leapt ahead, as I do, and I could see... Yeah. Pip and Stella.
Mm.
Stip or Pella? Which are we going with?
Oh, that's quite
think Stip.
Stip, yeah,
Stip.
Go on.
Yeah. Stip running a farm between them as a couple.
Oh, that's sweet, Lucy, actually. Mm. And then being a long-term family in the Arches.
Yeah.
Being a, what's the word, when you're a family of all different sort of...
A blended family.
That's it. Mm. Very blended. And then throw a bit of Rex in there as well.
Yep.
If they want another baby, if Stella wants a baby.
Yes.
Get Rex involved.
Yes.
That would be lovely.
Oh my God,
actually.
It's like the Grundys all over again with Emma. We can't have another. Whose is it?
It's really cool. I was so confused this week because when Ed was shouting at Brad and being really hypocritical, I wouldn't say, you're not my dad.
Yeah.
But then I was like, actually, is he his dad? No, he's not
biologically
his dad.
Yeah.
But he was talking to him like his dad because I guess he has. He is his dad in lots of ways.
Stepfather. There was that. It was a Warburton week this week, And yeah, yeah. There was all that. Ha ha! Do you remember what Georgie used to say? We asked him, what, a burglar! And I thought, oh my God, you know, foreshadowing. Yes, all right, we've got it. Yes, he is a wrong one.
I did think quite crap parenting from Ed, though.
Oh, totally.
I mean,
and Eddie.
Pick your battles.
Flipping egg, yes. Eddie. What a twat. Yes. Yeah, I mean, Ed goes, if you do that, you will die. And Eddie goes, it's all right. And
I was more on Eddie's side. I mean, George's problems are a lot heavier than just vaping, aren't they?
Yeah.
Although I did hear that vaping isn't, you know, like we used to think vaping was fine.
No, it isn't. It makes your gums bleed and all over. Look, it's horrible.
I heard a thing about it. And it's really easy to get vapes if you're a kid, isn't it?
Yeah.
They send them out in sweetie packages to fool the parents, something like that. I heard one of those, you know, must have been like file on four.
Was it you and yours? It was, wasn't it?
Something really awful. Like
I'm
that.
Very cross about everything on Radio 4.
Yes, and then that made me have very strong opinions on on vaping in particular.
So you suddenly went from having none to really, really strong ones.
I'm not going to bother to do any of my own research, actually. Yeah. I heard about it on File on 4, so you can't vape, not even if you're 27.
No, no. And even if you're trying to give up a four-pack-a-day Benson's habit, you still can't. No.
It's still bad for
it's
you.
It's still bad.
I feel like that about Coke Zero and Coke, Diet Coke. I feel like that's the vape of Coke, but Coke is actually better for you than Diet Coke.
So you're suggesting you should smoke, not vape?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, people have been doing it for longer.
No, Harriet. No, they've been doing it for longer and dying, Harriet. Oh, for God's sake. Please remember, do not take any of the opinions, advice or recommendations given in this podcast because we're both idiots.
All my opinions aren't my own. They've just been fed to me by various programmes on Radio 4.
And I have since muddled them all up into, confused them all together and
especially
come up with some sort of Franken opinion that actually doesn't make any sense to anybody.
After being on Twitter for 24 hours, I have decided this is true. Yeah.
And not only that, I'm going to set up a campaign and I'm going to do one of those petitions that you sign and then they disappear and you never hear about them again.
But the kids now, the youth, I mean,
the
youth, they do all vape, don't they?
Yes.
Rather than smoke much.
Yes.
So it looks
is better, but it would be better if they didn't do anything at all.
Okay. I gotcha. But anyway, what they definitely shouldn't do, guys, is try and make the stuff yourself. I love
and
the fact
And then drink it, the idiot.
But I love the fact that you referenced the script writers.
Just going,
can you imagine that meeting?
Thing?
Yeah. Okay, so guys, so when you make a vape,
What actually is it? I don't know. I think my granddaughter does it. Shall I ring her? No, don't. No, we haven't got time. It's just fine. Just talk about the flavours.
Just mention the nicotine and then put some flavours in.
Yes.
And get someone who's good at maths to mix them all up.
Yes, and use a complicated word like propylenglycol. And it's fine, it's fine.
I mean,
anyway, the main focus is that it's not good and he's gone to hospital. So, you know, no one will notice, it's fine.
He touched a tiny bit and he's gone to hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, but I hope this isn't the end of Breaking Brad, because I thought this could be something that runs and runs. And then the cider shed eventually explodes.
Yes.
That would be, or, you know, once they're really deep into it.
Nicotine is nicotine was used as a poison in lots of 1930s murder mysteries.
Oh.
Because it's incredible. They used to spray it on roses to kill greenfly.
Where'd you get it from then?
They used to be able to get it from the chemist. You just had to get
what
it. You had to sign a poison book. It's a liquid. It's just it's a chemical. I don't know anything about it other than that it's.
You should write for the Archers.
Yeah, what? Because I don't know anything about it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's like. Is it just something that people make? Is it like a?
It. What you mean? Is it?
How do you get a nicotine? What do you do?
I think it's a plant because there's a plant called Nicotiana.
Fine. Okay, I wanted to ask that question, but then I thought I might sound stupid. Is it a natural substance?
I think we're both sounding stupid. I think it's fine. That ship has sailed about 7 months ago. Don't worry about it.
Someone helpful might help us out.
Yes. Are you a science? Can you tell us about nicotine?
We'll be bored of the subject by then.
Yeah, we'll have forgotten why we were talking about it in the first place. It's fine.
Anyway, but I hope, I assume, because we've got to enjoy Will's pottery on Sunday, that Georgie will be fine.
Yeah.
But it's,
you think he's going to call it Willy Grundy's pottery?
Yeah, it's great. I love
Pottery Willy.
I love this side of Will. Taking it really earnest about
actually,
it.
Actually, it's really helping me get in touch with myself. Whatever it was he said. And everyone, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was really
I hope it goes really well for you, you man bint.
Oh, I'm really, really pleased he's found his clay. Good.
His future in clay. I just can't wait to hear Linda describe them, because that's going to be the funny. You need to hear Tracy describe them, and then you need to hear Linda describe them. That's the two. Well, and then we'll get a picture of what they're actually like.
As I said before, I reckon he's going to sell them. Somebody, like Ardell's going to pick them up and put them in his latest exhibition, or put them in the opening exhibition of Gay Grey Books.
No,
thinking that,
do you
yeah,
think?
No, I think it's going to be the Emperor's New Clothes, and they're going to be seen as high art.
Okay.
Yeah, because that always happens. There's always a little hilarious twist, isn't there?
Hilarious, yeah.
So, yes, Sunday's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because it's going to have hilarious palm readings.
Sadly, it didn't say, because the next thing...
Surely we'll hear it.
Yeah, no, but I was... Because it said... the announcer today said something about what's happening on Sunday. It's the fate or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really hoping that Sunday's episode sees, you know, Will Grundy in hospital on a... You know, being resuscitated or something. But no, so there's no mention of that.
Georgie,
so he's
Grundy.
Fine. Georgie, sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, no, but exactly. But then they had to make him fine, because otherwise Will would have to be at the hospital instead of selling his wares.
Selling his willies.
So selling his willies, and we
wouldn't have anything to laugh
he
at.
He could take them to Coxfest, couldn't he, Lucy? Yeah. Fit right in. Hello, bit of cheesy nibbles.
Cheesy
Coxfest. How annoying would you? I mean, how annoying would Pat be? Doing her cheesy samples,
and she's just but she'd been told, hadn't she, don't bring cheese, only bring the...
Well, I saw that on Twitter, but I didn't know why it was a big deal if she did bring her cheese, except
I think
that she...
Natasha had told
Natasha say don't take cheese, Pat.
This isn't just for once, it's not about bloody you, Pat.
Don't take cheese, and make sure you do the accounts, okay? I mean, how scared would you be of Natasha? I would be.
I would be really scared, because I'm quite incompetent and she's very efficient.
She'll just make you do whatever she says.
Yeah. I don't think Joy was taking any money for any of the things.
Oh, so
I think she wasn't. She wasn't tapping the contact thingy.
Oh no, awkward. Oh, maybe Mick will turn out to be a wrong un.
Do you think?
No. What did you think of Mick?
Irritating.
Oh no,
he sounds like every painter and decorator I've had here for the last month, to be honest.
Well, people, so when I first heard him, I really liked him, and I liked his jib. What is it?
Cut of his jib.
I thought he was actually quite funny in those jokes, quite a little bit funny. Okay. Quite funny for a first date.
Yeah, okay.
The balaclava. Yeah, I mean, you know, what am I like? Quite like all that. But then everyone on Twitter was like, he sounds just like Leonard. And then I listened back and he does sound like Leonard.
He doesn't, yeah.
He sounds like a more jovial, vaudeville Leonard.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought they were brilliant in the pub together. What's he like? Oh no, she's not from there, is she? What's he like, eh, Pat?
And she...
Yes, isn't he? Anyway, Joy.
Pat is
9:30.
Pat is the ultimate like buzzkill, isn't she? She doesn't get any jokes. She just looks a bit blank and just kept saying, "So then, what did happen? Oh, I see. Oh,
but
okay.
She was wearing a hat.
Yeah,
I know. That was so excruciating when she was talking to Toya. Yes, Toya is here today.
Is she?
Yes, she is. She's playing at the main stage. I'm going to the main stage. Would you like some cheese? It was really awkward from a not intentional point of view, wasn't
but
it?
But I think, I thought Toya was very good.
But yeah,
then so that's because I am used to people like Bradley Wiggins.
No, but that's
doing
also, it's
and,
weird.
You know.
Yeah. No, no, exactly. Because Toya's an actress, isn't
yeah,
she? So she
yeah.
was really good. But then I thought, well, they've wasted her because she could have actually just gone in as a part. Maybe
yes.
she didn't want to. But
no,
now
I'm sure
she has
to
be... Toya, and if she moves into the village, she has to.
She's
always
not
be
going
Toya.
To move into the village. She's going to be the special guest at the fete, isn't she?
But then she clearly quite likes being on the Archers, doesn't she? If she's doing already two episodes, And she seemed quite keen in a little interview.
That's two more than Kathy's done for the last 6 months.
That's true. Maybe they'll bring her back as another character with an
yes,
accent.
She could be Carol Tregoran, and we just, because we've forgotten all about her. So,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
She could be the new one.
Because you, unless she moves into Ambridge as Toya Wilcox. And they just bring a whole new sort of element of.
Oh, it's only villages in the Cotswolds that are just stuffed full of celebrities.
True, true that. But she's not that sort of celebrity, though, is
no.
she? She's always seemed a bit more down to earth.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really. She's not really my era, Lucy.
No.
I just know that she used to narrate Brum, which I used to watch when I was a kid. That's sort of it. And she did songs.
She did some very good songs. She was like our, she was like a little Cyndi Lauper.
I'm sure she'd love to be described.
I know. Please tell me you don't listen, Toya Wilcox. Actually, I really liked her because she's quite shouty.
And fun. She's got a great voice.
But she was also in, was it Derek Jarman's Tempest? Somebody's Tempest. And she was brilliant. I think she was Ariel. She was fantastic.
So was she an actress before she was a singer?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because she's got a lovely deep voice, isn't she?
Yeah.
But that's why I thought, oh, it's such a shame that she's not actually in The Archers.
Yeah.
She's got a really, you know, distinctive voice.
Yes.
I think they'll bring her back.
Mm.
Without the hat on. As a completely different character.
And Pat still won't recognise her. Sorry, who are you? Oh, are you the man from The Kinks? Ah.
I got so confused on that whole episode with Mick.
And when he said Scarlet, oh, what was it? Scarlet Rupert.
I think I actually Googled it. Oh. I was like, I don't understand all these 80s references. Yeah. I don't know if they're real.
Well, The Kinks weren't 80s. I'm going to... Ah, ha-ha. I've just got the gnat. Ha-ha.
Oh, well done. Must be a
no,
big
I haven't.
One if
I
can
still
see
hear it.
It.
Oh, I can still hear it horrible. Through my headphones. It's like a light aircraft, basically.
You know what it's like? It's like that episode in Breaking Bad when there was a fly. Do you remember that one? It was a crap episode. I think it was when there was a writer's strike.
Oh.
And it was just him in a room, in a laboratory, I think, and a fly. And the whole episode was him trying to swat the fly.
Oh.
The whole, 45 minutes. Weirdly, there's a fly in here as well. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yucky bugs everywhere.
Shall we do some emails?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm really enjoying being back. Oh, Lucy, so much to talk about. Do some emails and then I'll remember.
Okay.
I needed to sort of do some catch up with you.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, go on.
Owen Kiffin said, we were talking last week. Oh, you listened to me and
I did.
Meets last week.
Of course I did.
And we were talking about...
So it's actually really nice to listen to the podcast when you're just listening to it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like just listening to a podcast. I really enjoyed it. It's good, actually. Well done.
Oh, thanks. Owen Kiffin said, today's episode posed a profound question for me. I've known my brother, I guess, technically 61 years next Tuesday, as I guess I met him at birth. I won't tell you about my 16th birthday, which Elvis spoiled by dying in the middle of it. But anyway, I digress. My brother is David. He's 15 years older than me, and I have no idea if anyone calls him Dave. I have not, nor can I remember anyone doing so. It's never struck me until today when you mentioned David and Kenton with Ken, as I shall now start calling David Dave. See what philosophically profound questioning of our entire existences the podcast provokes. That's very weird, isn't it? Not call, you know, yeah.
There's something, my brother can't, because I'm called Harriet, but all my family and friends call me Hattie. My brother can't bring himself to call me Hattie.
Really?
It's too, you know, I suppose because when we were children, he always called me Harriet. And now it would be too much like he's my mate and not my brother if he called me Hattie. It's too endearing. But, you know, I would be a bit like that, I suppose, with my sister. I probably wouldn't, cutify her name. You know, we're really close as siblings, but we're not like, oh my God, I love you. We're just not like that. We get along really well, but we wouldn't sort of be soppy with each other.
Yeah.
And I think when you call someone a diminutive name, it's making quite a big impact. It's like, I love people calling me Hattie because that's my nickname and it makes me feel like I'm instantly closer to them, although I suppose it depends who it is.
Yeah.
Some people you'd be like, don't call me that. You don't know me well enough.
I'm working with a client at the minute who's I think I'd known him 20 minutes. He said, right, anyway, Luce. And I thought,
oh, Lucy, ooh, you hate that, don't you? And even I don't dare to call you Luce. You're not Luce.
But it was, I sort of went, huh! It was like someone had just tipped some cold water over me. I like it. There are very, very, very few people that can call me Luce. And
right.
My family calls me it sometimes. That's fine.
Yeah. Because Lucy, you do want to, you know, it's like with anyone. You want to, when you feel you know them well, you want to shorten their name.
Yeah.
But I think with some people, you know, you just can't.
Yeah. Anyway, he called me Babe today, so I'm not sure whether we're moving forwards or backwards, to be honest. No, it's fine.
I don't think you are.
No.
It's a bit 90s, isn't it? All right, Babe. I'm going to call you Luce, though, now, just to annoy you.
Okay, see, I Luce. Don't mind when you do it. Jeff calls me Luce sometimes.
Oh, does he?
Okay.
Well, although maybe it'll make me feel sick if I start calling you Luce now.
Okay. No, right. Yeah. You could call me Lucy V. Freeman if it makes you feel more comfortable.
Lucy V. Coming up, it's Lucy V. What does the V stand for? Verity.
Vagina.
In Veritas. Vagina. Lucy Vulva. I like sure.
Vulva.
Poor old Jeff kicking him off for being freaked out by vulva. Loads of people were. You can't say vulva. I agree with Jeff. You can't say vulva on the Archers. Unless it's in reference to a car. You just can't.
Ladies down their bits. That's what you say.
That cow's dangly bits look a bit unclean.
Stella, come over here and have a look.
Oh, stop it. That actually makes me feel a bit weird. I don't want to have to think about Pip's vulva, that's for sure.
Okay. Stella thinks about little else.
Oh, stop it. No, they don't. They're going to have a very sweet courtship first, hopefully.
With no kissing, because everybody will write in and complain. I don't want to listen to that! It's bad enough having Adam and that Irish one.
No, oh. They'll just put them in the shower and then you won't hear anything except the water sound effect.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, Rob Williams.
Hi, Robbie.
He said, your chat about children spontaneously voiding all their crevices reminded me of a tale that made my mother chuckle for the last 50 years or so of her life. When I was somewhere between 3 and 5 years old, she took me to visit my nan. At the time, I had a taste for California syrup of figs, but was unaware of the intended effect. While they were chatting, I found a bottle and drank the lot. My mother had to make a nappy out of a tablecloth to get me home on the bus.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful.
And he's headed it, evacuating children, which is not really. And he also said, Ross's wife, who he left for Lily, was described as being much younger, as I remember. In short, he does have form.
Well, I actually think that Russ isn't being yucky or pervy. I think it sounds like he genuinely does want to help Chelsea because she's in an unfortunate position.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of like that's the teacher in him, isn't it? He wants to support and... I think he genuinely wants to help Chelsea, but I think it might turn in that maybe she might get the wrong idea. And, you know, like she's sort of quite vulnerable at the moment, isn't she? And then Lily will walk in and it'll...
And anyone that seems like they're, you know, rescuing her, they're in such dire straits.
Yeah. But I don't think... I think it'll be that he's not the one being pervy in this, but it might backfire in that people suspect him of it, or Lily gets.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? When you're in a relationship like he is, people are going, because if you, he can't ever get past that. He can't ever get past the age difference.
He doesn't seem to want to, does he?
No, well, not the way they continually bloody refer to it. No,
exactly.
What are you eating?
Oh, sorry, a pistachio. Sorry. Oh. Is that right?
No, I've got many things that I've tried when you're away because I was bored, so I decided to try all the stuff. So I've got all.
What,
I've done
our
everything.
Free stuff?
All our free stuff. I tried
all
of it.
Have you done all the
shout-outs? I even tried yours. I broke into your house while you were away and ate all your things.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
It's all right. Anyway, Flora Buchholz completely disagrees with you, Harriet.
Oh, no.
She said, I have felt like I'm going mad for the past few weeks as I eagerly awaited someone to mention what I believe to have been a Russ and Chelsea red flag.
Oh.
It was admittedly subtle and thus out of character for the Archers, but I have finally identified the episode. On the 24th of July, Russ came to get his customary flat white from the Orangery, and he and Chelsea mentioned the rave. She was awkward when he said something like, well, you had a good time, didn't you? Then at the end of the conversation, she said, so you don't remember much then, or words to that effect. They were then interrupted by Freddie and Brad. It was the latter's first day, so no more was said. I gleaned from this that while Lily and Sol were chatting and Russ was off his head and loved up on the unknown substance, something happened with him and Chelsea, which he now has no recollection of. I now fear that on top of Chelsea's court summons, she might be carrying Russ's child. Otherwise, what was the point of the interaction at the Orangery, only I seem to have heard, but which definitely does exist. I hope I am wrong, because I would like Chelsea and Freddie to marry, making Chelsea the next Lady of Lower Loxley, and for Oliver to eventually leave Gay Grables to Tracy, making the Horribins Ambridge gentry.
Oh my God, that's too much. I can't believe that. Well, I vaguely do remember her.
I remember it, yeah.
But she was also a bit awkward about Tracy's birthday, but I don't know if that was the same episode. But that's weird, isn't it? But surely they would have. Like, there hasn't been any lovey-dovey stuff, though, or any sort of hint of him being...
She's saying is that he can't remember. Maybe there was.
Oh, my God.
And Chelsea can remember and he can't.
Oh, my God. This is exciting. Not exciting. No, it's pervy yucky. Well, I mean, it's sort of... No, I mean, it's exciting as it might be revelationary.
Yes.
But then we want to hurry up and get Chelsea with Freddie... And then, do you know what? I mean, my prediction is obviously shite because do you remember before I went on holiday, I was like, oh my God, Lucy, my prediction is that Amy will come to the christening and him and...
I was right though, wasn't I? Because I said it's Shula.
Yeah, if you were right.
Yeah.
I always listen to you. So annoying.
It's because secretly I write it.
I know. Well,
I just have to
known.
Pretend that
you
I don't.
You write it under your pseudonym, Loose.
Juicy Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Loose with the juice.
Yeah. No, so I'm actually Kerry Davis. I have been for ages.
Oh my God. That's
I didn't
so
used
weird.
To be.
You just, all that you do is you put on a hat.
Yeah.
And then you're Kerry Davis.
Yep.
And then you go out with a pen in your pocket. Put
He's
on your
actually
hat.
Tied up in the blanket box in my spare room.
Are you Lucy Davis, formerly of the Archers? Was
oh
that
God.
Lucy Bryce?
No, but somebody kept emailing me thinking that I was Jasper Carrot's daughter. They thought I was Lucy Davis off The Office. I don't know why. And saying, can you tell your dad this, that, and the other one? I was thinking,
oh my God.
No, I can't. I'm not.
That's quite funny, though. You should have.
Oh, bloody hell.
Anyway. But do you know what? Can I just say what I think is going to happen?
Yes.
Guys, what I think is going to happen is, because you know Ray was basically doing unfair talking to Tracy.
Sorry. I love the idea of an HR. The tribunal has been caused because you were doing unfair talking.
He was doing unfair talking, really unprofessional.
Yes.
I thought he was like, leading. And then, why didn't he give her the opportunity to write stuff down, all that, blah, blah, blah. So I think she's going to go for unfair dismissal and get 100 grand.
Well, I think she's going to start doing nights. They've moved her onto the night shift.
No, I thought that he basically said you have to leave.
No, he said you have to go on a different shift to her so that you don't see her, or you have to leave. So the only shifts she can do that she's not doing are the night ones.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, I didn't hear. Oh, shit, my predictions are so shite. Oh, I thought that she basically said, so I've got no choice, I have to leave.
Well, that's what she...
Because then she said to Jazza and
it's
Chelsea,
all fixed, it's all
it's
fine.
It's all fixed, we're doing different shifts. Yeah. That was obviously a lie.
But I think it wasn't a lie. I think he said, right, okay, because he said... Gemma has said she will drop the prosecution, but she doesn't want to work with you on any shifts. So she sort of must have said, okay, and now she's going to be doing nighttime.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Oh, bollocks. Because I thought we could just wrap this up so easily. Mm-mm. Just take them to court.
But do you know what? The way we could wrap this up so easily is if Tracy just talked to Emma.
Yes, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's really annoying. It's a gaping hole in the plot.
Oh, yeah, but you know you said Emma's in Hollywood.
She's having a baby,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, she went and had a baby, didn't she, I think.
Well done. And then go to Hollywood after you've had the baby. Yes.
Lying by, you know, it's like, yeah. It's just like lying by a pool, really,
yeah,
Lucy.
Except with your boobs half off. That's yeah.
And being dragged down.
Yes.
Especially if you've got twins. Both of them at the same time.
It's just electrical then.
But also, isn't it a little reminder to everybody that if you're in those sort of difficult circumstances, you should always write stuff down.
Yep.
In case anything ever goes to court.
Yep.
Like people who are having custody battles and stuff.
Yes.
Always just write it down.
Mm. Anyway. So first thing they will say is, Nick, keep a diary of what's happening. Blah, blah, blah.
Keep a diary. Because, you know, it's not like you're really, really stressed. And that you're just not going to think about. Do you know what? I'm really stressed and pissed off and angry. I'll just write it all down in a little diary. I'll go to W.H. Smith and buy a cute little flowery notebook. I'll just write it all down. I'll feel much better.
I love it on police procedurals where they say, where were you on May the 24th? And they go, Waitrose. And I just think, I would not. You could say to me, where were you this time yesterday? And I would struggle.
Pizza Express.
Yeah.
And me too. There's no way if you said, what were you doing at 4 p.m. yesterday? Yeah. It would take me a good 30, 40 seconds to answer that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet...
And it would be wrong.
Yeah. And I'd get years wrong when I did things and everything. I mean, it's... Anyway, don't know how anyone remembers anything. Steve Parrott says, supporting Jeff's point about the horror bins not getting an even break, it is continuing this week. Misery piled upon misery. The scriptwriters used to do this to the Grundys. It's just not fair. Anyone fancy joining a crowdfunding campaign to bankroll a private prosecution of the scriptwriters alleging bullying and harassment?
Oh, I thought he was going to suggest one for Brad.
Yeah. But to change the mood of this email in a Liz Truss-like U-turn, Matt's musical contributions continue to amaze and delight. What a gem he is. Hiya, hiya.
He's a rare beacon of light in a sad, dark world.
He is.
I was blown away by last week's or something like that, wasn't it? But it was
he's in
so
Portugal
powerful.
Now.
Oh, is he?
Matt, yes.
Oh,
yes.
How nice.
Well, don't get all jealous because you've only just come back.
I know, but it went so quick. And now I've got nothing to look forward to. Except Ambridge on the couch every week, Lucy.
Matt, despite he's now over his COVID. And he is in Portugal, and he has emailed us from beside the pool and said, did we ever find out who vandalised Roy's car? Could it have been Georgie, as he's proven his shiteness?
Well, didn't Susan say, somebody said you vandalised... Yeah, she was talking about the spate of things that had happened recently and mentioned Roy's car, didn't she?
Yes, but that definitely wasn't George.
I don't even think... Oh, I see. No, of course it wasn't. But did we ever find out who it was?
No.
No, why would it have been George?
Yeah, because George is very self-interested. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He wouldn't care.
It was Chelsea. Yeah. Also, would you have owned up about the key car thing? I wouldn't. I wouldn't have said own up. As if anyone's ever going to find out who it was. He's only got cauliflower in his head. He's not going to have put two and two together.
Well, I was thinking if there was CCTV in the... Because there is CCTV because in the pub car park because that's how Jolene realised that Linda wasn't sleeping outside. Oh, no, it wasn't, was it? Or was it?
Oh, there's been no tape in that CCTV months. I would have just left it because, you know, it's like... You know, it was on the news, wasn't it? Even if you get burgled, they're not going to bother following it up.
No.
I would have massively left that and just kept my head down.
My favourite bit was Ross describing himself as an appropriate adult.
Oh, that was so funny.
Really?
That was so funny, wasn't it? I'm her
if
appropriate
you say
adult.
So.
Yeah, was, and what is your connection here, Ross? Yeah, it was a bit. You could have read a lot into that, and yeah. I was trying not to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
No. Yuck.
Because I like Ross.
Do you?
Yeah, I like his character. I like the silliness and sort of suaveness of him. I do. I really like his. Yeah, don't you? You must like the character of Ross, don't you?
No, I don't, because I still think there's something deeply flawed about something that goes out with someone that young.
Yeah, but that's what makes him interesting. He's not. Yeah.
He's interesting.
He's
but
a
I don't
smarmy.
Like him.
He's a smarmy perv, isn't he? Yeah. Basically, but he's good value. In the Archers.
Yes, interesting, but not likable. I think.
Totally. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So Alice taking over the stables?
Yeah. Fine.
That's all right.
Well, we knew it was coming, didn't we?
Yeah.
Although I do think Justin just basing it on the fact that Alice said
it's cheap.
Those things are too high. Yeah. Is a bit lame. What about looking into her qualifications and work experience?
I know, and also if you've got he's got a team of flipping investors. Why, you can't just make choices like that on a whim. You just can't.
It's cheap.
Exactly.
I was with Lillian, though, because I wouldn't want the pressure of the responsibility of putting her under that pressure.
Yeah, she's a recovering alcoholic, a very recently recovering alcoholic, who's just recovering also from a custody battle with a young child. She's probably not ideal management material, is she, really?
Just ask Chris, maybe.
Yeah.
He can probably do a better job.
Or indeed anybody. But anyway. Yeah, it's all going to be a bit swanky now, isn't it? Because we're going to have the new Gay Grables with the people in dark suits and iPads. And then we're going to have this incredible
What are they doing with the riding that's too fast now? Are they lowering the planks to get smaller ponies over?
It's not a building site. cut corners on the... they tried to make it more exciting by tightening it up, and they've just got to move some of the jumps to space them out a bit more.
Okay.
Yes. So that it's not quite as...
Did you imagine...
corkscrew.
Alice and Sheila just trotting. I sort of imagined them
like on
trotting.
Fellwell ponies, yes, two
exactly.
Massive bouncy bottoms.
But just like doing Miranda, just sort of, trot skipping and then jumping over the... Oh, that's high, isn't it? My bum, that one. I just couldn't get that image out of my head.
Like you used to do at the playground
pantering.
when
yes,
you'd all
exactly.
go cantering around the playground. Yeah.
Yeah. Alice had a skipping rope round Sheila. Oh, it's all in Sheila's fantasy mind, isn't it?
Can Justin just get rid of Sheila because he's fed up with her?
Why is he? No, she's going because she's doing her holy thing.
Yes.
But is she? But that's another thing. So she's not leaving forever.
No. And it seems like, let's just put someone else in.
But that's the thing. If it's just a temporary for 3 months, 4 months, fine. But Alison, I don't think, and can't Sheila sort of manage bits and bobs from afar?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I don't care. So I find it boring.
Yeah. I'm only interested when she starts talking to imaginary people. When it goes all coconut cloppy, clop, 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 clop. And then she says, well done, Fenella!
Now, Perdita, sit up properly. Don't give Ginger there a snap until I tell you to. A ginger snap. Hang on, I'm getting my references muddled up. I'm going to miss that because now it's going to be like, Simon from Canary Wharf on a horse, as opposed to little Ginny or whatever.
Yes.
It'll be a shame, won't it, if it changes from Sheila's crappy, dirty stables. Sort of like kids that don't really want to be there, but their parents want them to ride.
Yeah.
Come along, Pansy. On you go. Hop.
Ah, I'm scared.
Now let me give his bottom a wallop.
Wallop. Off you go! Where's she gone? Oh, never mind. She'll be back. Hello, Mummy!
Yes. Just hang on there. Yeah.
Yes. Amazing they haven't had more fatalities there, isn't it, really?
There's definitely been a few. They just haven't been mentioned. It's useful having a vet as a husband.
Let's keep this between us, Alistair, okay?
Get that nurse of yours to secretly stitch her up. Mm. I'll be stitching you up, Shula.
There was some chemistry there, wasn't there?
Yes. Mm. And next week, because I looked ahead,
yes,
it's basically Rory.
Yes.
Which is going to be good. And Alistair. There's a lot of sort of Alistair finds himself in a complicated situation, etc.
Why so is Ruari back? It's middle of term.
Oh, well, I thought that's...
Oh, no, it's not. No, no, no. He doesn't start until end of September.
Where is he now, though? Because we have... Is he back at home?
Oh, he's... I don't know. He's in the Caribbean, isn't he?
Oh, right. Okay, so he's coming back from Holes, and it'll be her saying your time's up.
Yeah.
Come and stroke my back. Yeah.
Or it'll be him going to Brian and saying, I'm not going back to the university.
Yeah. Could be that, actually. Mm. And he'll say, well, you could run the stables.
With Alice.
Oh, my God.
Why would Brian want... Brian's nothing to do with the stables.
Well, they all get involved, don't they? To be honest, I have no idea who runs it and who owns it.
No, well, it's Shula's. It's definitely nothing to do with Brian.
No. No. Okay, yeah.
Right. And now, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I am very concerned. There is flood in car park and my woohoo could drift off. I have tethered it to a bollock with my yoga stretch band, but I am not sure it will be strong enough. Can you go out and check it? I cannot go because I have to do show any minute. Now. Yes, that is what I mean. Oh, now. Hello. This is me, Fabrizio Felbersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. We are all facing a big crisis of energy. I find I have crisis of energy at about 2 o'clock every afternoon and have to have a little power nap, just hour and a half. And then I am raring to go again until at least 9 p.m. But it is not just me. The whole of UK is facing an energy crisis. It is because Putin has had all aircon on all the time and used up all the oil. I saw it on a TikTok. It is where I get all my geopolitical knowledge and dance moves. Anyway, I thought I would ask people of Ambridge what are their energy saving tips. First up, we have our resident eco expert, Ms. Krusty Miller. What can we do to save our energies, Ms. Krusty Miller?
For a start, think about your electricity usage. Think about your appliances.
I think about mine a lot. Oh, you mean like televisions and laptop?
Yes. Don't leave them on standby. Turn them off at the plug.
Oh, you are a joke. That means I have 10 minutes of trying to remember password and which remote control is controlling what, and by the time I have done this, I have missed a place on the sun. What about people who are twerking from home?
Working from home, you mean?
You do you. I know what I mean.
Well, obviously, working from home is good because you're not using energy to get to work. Also, you can forage from hedgerows to get your lunch. You know, blackberries, hazelnuts, and whatever's left in someone's old lilt can. Save water by flushing your toilet as little as possible. Remember the old saying, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's green, see your GP straight away.
Thank you, Kirsty. But I am not going for forage in Edge. I will forage in fridge and find sushi and Diet Coke. Oh, we have other call from Lady Elizabeth Lower Loxley.
Hi, Febreze. Save energy on your laundry by wearing as few clothes as possible. For example, I'm ringing in Start Naked right now, and it feels great to be doing something for the environment. Oh, sorry, one moment. Oh, yes, that'll be £2.70, please. Knives and forks are over there. Enjoy your lunch.
Oh, I think I see why big queues outside Lower Loxley now. Oh, the phone is ringing in Welsh now. Hello?
Hi, Febreze. You can save money on food and drink by just going to a festival and eating all the cheese and juice that your mother-in-law and her Muppet mate are apparently just giving away for free because they're a couple of senile incompetents. Save you loads, that will. I mean, obviously, it'll bankrupt the business owner, but so what? You know, it's not like she can do anything about it when she's got something clumped to her boob the whole day. Get off, Tom!
Oh, yes, I do this in Underwoods. I go in and I choose between lots of little squares of bread with different olive oil in. I eat them all and then say I have just remembered that I am allergic to olive oil and I cannot buy any of it. Declan will not let me buy a old bread, as he says he does not like me when I am bloat, so I can just have nibblings. Oh, I see the competition is ringing in. Hello, Chelsea.
Hi, Febreze. I thought I'd ring in as a representative of the beauty industry. I mean, I know you are too, but I'm louder. So, if you're looking to save money on beauty products, you could always try some homemade ones. For example, you can make a great body scrub out of oil and sea salt, as long as you don't mind breaking a hip when you try and get out the shower afterwards. Also, you can make a hair mask out of egg and coconut oil. Just don't have the water too hot, though, when you wash it out, or you'll end up with a head full of tropical omelette.
Thank you, Chelsea. That sounds appalling. I would rather go without oxygen than give up spacey NK, but for people who are already too far gone, I expect it is fine. So, it is difficult to be style and save energy, as a lot of style is all about paying a lot of money for things that don't matter. But you have to think about olden times when they did not have straighteners, but they still managed to have a lot of sexiness, like Cleopatra and Lorraine Kelly. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level.
You can find us on Facebook. I mean, have you been on Facebook lately, guys? It's not the Facebook we all knew and loved.
Oh.
But we do have a page on there, apparently. On Twitter, at on Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze. Or you can email us at
AmbridgeOnTheCouch@gmail.com.
Oh, he's a one. What's he like? What's she like, ladies and gentlemen?
In the meantime, I need to say thank you to some various.
That's fine, Lucy. Stop
people.
It.
Well, no, not you. You've done nothing except get a suntan and run around Spain trying to find the Radio Times.
Oh, wasn't that exciting?
It was very strange.
Well, it was.
It wasn't until you sent it. I had no idea.
I mean, that's weird, isn't it? Well, A, the info was completely... I loved the fact that you're in all the podcasts about the Archers.
That's what Jeff said. You've sewn up that market. Yes. He said, people... the Monopolies Commission will be after you.
People who are reading it were like, who is this?
She's everywhere. Where does she find the time?
Lucy, not Luce, V. Freeman. I'm going to look this kid up. Oh, no, you're not on Twitter, Lucy. Oh, for God's sake. Just when all these people are looking you up.
No, because they came off after that, didn't I?
Yeah, but some people have only just got it. Oh, no, maybe not. Maybe it's, yeah,
Harriet,
a bit ancient
who
now.
Reads Radio Times?
Well, I do if I'm in it.
Yes, well.
I've got two copies. One when I had my photo in it, Lucy.
What for? What were
it?
You doing
in I was in
it?
This sort of radio thing and... they asked for my photo.
Oh.
Yeah, that was very exciting. So I've got that one and this one, which is cool.
Yes.
I only buy it if I'm in it.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a bit annoying. Well, it wasn't annoying. But it made me laugh was I opened the Radio Times. I was so excited. And the first thing I came to was a massive article on my cousin, Laura.
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay. Loads of photos of her in it. And I had to scroll quite a lot of pages to find our bit.
And then I was in it twice and you weren't mentioned. I'm so sorry. Obviously, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even...
No, but that's the thing. So where did they... I couldn't really even understand who wrote it. Because...
No, it's like most journalism now. It's written by the intern. They Googled it. They found the most reliable source they could, which wasn't, and thought, that'll do. And then off it goes.
I'm not complaining. I loved it. I was like, oh, if only I'd digitalised that picture for Ambridge on the couch, so it would have come across better. That's mostly what bugged me.
Yes.
If only I'd put it into Procreate and made the lines a bit clearer. It had slight bad resolution feedback on the page, didn't it? Anyway, but no, well, we can't ever change the picture now. It's been in the Radio Times.
No.
Never mind. Fine. I'm not complaining. But they might want to... Guys, if you are listening and working at the Radio Times, Lucy V. Freeman is a qualified writer and she could write something for you.
I probably won't research it any better than that person did.
There's actually a photo of me in your archives.
Yeah.
You could...
Between us, believe you me, we are the dream team. Absolutely.
I could send you a higher res pic of our podcast. What's it called? Our thing? You know, like
Ambridge
our
on the Couch? Oh, no, I see. Our icon. I thought you'd temporarily forgotten the name of the podcast, which wouldn't surprise me.
Sometimes I do, because I call it on Ambridge.
So do I now, because you started that.
That's right. People get confused about our email address.
Yes.
Because we are on at on Ambridge.
No.
No, we are Ambridge on the Couch.
AOTC.
Oh,
God. Well, don't. Otherwise, people will start emailing AOTC, which isn't us.
It's like some military organisation or something, isn't it?
Yes.
Sounds like it. America's only territorial.
Cowards. That's us. Yeah, that sounds absolutely us. Now you see.
Oh, yeah.
That's relevant because Matt Rodriguez Payne this week has...
Even though he's been on holiday?
Yes. Oh, he's done good. The theme for one of my favourite shows, which is about a bunch of military cowards in the best possible way, MASH. Oh. I loved MASH when I was growing up. It's brilliant. I was deeply in love with Hawkeye and still am. So we will be playing out with the theme tune from MASH. But before that, I need to say thank you to Potts Candles.
Oh!
Did you get one?
No. You said you've taken all my stuff.
No, I didn't mean that.
And just took all the deliveries from the front garden.
Actually robbed your house. I have not done that.
Georgie did it.
Georgie.
It's balaclava, back to front. Him and Mick.
I like scented candles.
Yes.
Candles.
I love them, Lucy. And
yes, well, you didn't get one though, so I did.
Well, I got some Freddy's snacks.
Yes, you did.
Just as delicious. Set fire to them.
They, I think it was this, what did she say? 360 million candles are burned every year and people chuck away the empty candle pots. I don't, because I keep them and use them and put tea lights in them. But she...
Well, it depends, because sometimes they have a bit of a yucky... You know, like you can't necessarily get all the wax out.
But you can, because you put boiling water in it and then it melts and then you take it out.
Oh.
Get it okay. out. Yes, so she sent me these beautiful candles. They're so gorgeous. They're little handmade. They're not that little, actually.
Say what's the brand?
Pot. P-O-T-T.
Pot. I can't Google pot.
Double T.
But
pot candles.
Oh, pot candles.
Yes.
Okay. Pot.
Potcandles.com.
You don't want to be Googling pot.
And they're made in the UK. Potters make them. Each one's unique. And then they've got the most gorgeous.
Oh, Lucy, I can't believe I didn't get one of them.
Oh.
They sell them in Wolf and Badger.
Yes.
That's like the most expensive and glorious shop in the whole of London.
Well, there you are.
Oh, my God.
And it was gorgeous. And it smelt all vanilla-y and coconutty and just lovely.
Oh, they are like Will Grundy's pots on a really, really, really good day.
Well, they don't look anything like Willy's, I'm telling you that.
No, they are quality.
They
you
are.
Get them at an Ambridge Fete.
They are sustainable and vegan and handmade, and they were lovely.
There's a really nice one where they've put the matches in, a ceramic match pot. Oh, I can't believe I didn't get one of them.
Oh.
I mean, it's really nice getting seaweed crisps, but...
I'll email the PR lady and see if she will send
you. I tell you what, Lucy, they're so nice. I'm just going to go to... I like going... There's a Wolf and Badger in... you know, that nice Granary Square.
Oh, yes. We like it there, don't we?
We like it there. And I always want an excuse to go into a scary shop like that. Now I can go and buy a really
nice... Why is it scary?
Because, you know, people are dressed really trendily and it's like boutique-y and I don't... You sort
Why does it
like
matter what they think of you? They're never going to see you again.
I know, but it was nice to have an excuse to go into... It's nice to buy something in a shop, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's sort of like this. I wouldn't buy anything in there unless I needed it, would I? And it's sort of the shop you don't need things from there. You only buy them because they're lovely.
Yeah.
And that's not the sort of shopping I do.
No.
You know, I'm more likely just to go to Waitrose and buy food.
Yes. Or just run around going, sellotape, because you're worried you're going to come out without the one thing that you went in there for.
Yeah, you always do. That's so annoying. It's always milk. I just forget.
I've got the asparagus. Oh, shit.
And these really fantastic seaweed crisps were on offer, and I couldn't resist.
Look, no, new gloves. We haven't got any tea. Oh.
That's yeah.
Have you used your Dr. Teals yet?
I love it. We keep forgetting to mention that as well.
Yeah, should we do that next week?
Yeah, that's the lovely bar stuff.
Yes. We'll have a bath on air next week.
Oh, shall we? With all our electrical equipment.
Like Stella and Pip.
Electrifying.
Right.
Stella, this. Yeah. Anyway.
I think we're done here, lady.
Okay. All right, thanks. Oh, those pot candles do look lovely though.
I know.
What flavour did you get?
Coconutty vanilla one.
They should put that in a vape. I think they were going to actually, weren't
thing,
they?
With the kind of the thing. The
thing?
The thing.
Just going to stir it and...
Put some thing in it?
Put some wax in it and a bit of fairy liquid and a smelly thing and then a bunch of nicotine.
I did love Brad's total exploitation of Georgie's total lack of knowledge about... science, though. That was quite good. That was like the nerd's revenge, wasn't it?
Chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I know, I really don't want this storyline to be killed before it's even begun.
I hope Georgie is, though.
It won't be. Right. We'll be like, oh, just hold that thought, because I've got a lot of willy candles to sell.
Right, I'm now going to play the MASH Archers theme tribute, and then we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Me and my pet mosquito are going to walk back up the garden path.
Yeah, have a good night, you two.
Bye!
Bye!
Oh, he's even got the helicopters.
I thought that sting was the mosquito. What's that? Was good. I don't even recognise that. That was really.
It was It was a song called "Suicide Is Painless," and they turned it into
suicide
the
yeah, is painless.
And they turned it into the MASH theme tune.
Wow! Because I thought, what a beautiful you could hear it had a beautiful melody in it. Oh my god, that's an amazing song.
That takes
song.
Me right back to sitting on the carpet, the green swirly carpet in my grandma Wilson's sitting room, and watching MASH with her, and her having to explain to us before it started who everybody was and what they were likely to do, so that we didn't interrupt her during the show to say, why is that man doing that, Grandma? And we just loved it. Well, I did. I don't know about my sister. But...
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. That's I'm going to stay on and listen to that for a second time.
He's so clever. Right. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll play it again now and then we'll go. Bye.
See ya.